Yes, I'm rapping. Yo, 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 it's HBO, Issa Rae all day. We're talking Insecure after show on the twos and threes. It's your girl MC. We got Paula B and Cortez B, Oriana Lee in the house tonight. We got Jay to the east. Stay tuned. Insecure coming right at ya.
Right from the first episode.
What does it matter?
Okay,
so we can't dance.
What's going on, everybody?
I know the rhythm. We lost it.
Hey,
no way.
Even we're right here. I'm Madison Chase, and we are talking HBO's Insecure all day long. And you can find me on YouTube at One Mad Chase, on Twitter at Madison Chase Fit. On Instagram, I'm Madison Chase Fitness, and to my left, I got my co-host. Introduce yourself.
My name is Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo. You can find my fitness business online at tiltbyoriana.com. Find me, follow me, shout me out. I'll write you back.
Get it.
Cortez.
I got all makers on that,
you're
right?
You're cute. Oh, yes.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another week. You can find me on all social media handles as Cortez G. West on your Twitter, on your Facebook, and your Instagram. And to my left, I have the beautiful queen.
Hi, I'm Paula Bryant Ellis, and you can reach me on Twitter and on Instagram at P. Bryant Ellis.
Okay.
Say it one more time. We had a little time.
Because you're over there kidding. My turn. All right. So, I am Paula Bryant Ellis, and you can reach me on Twitter and on Instagram, P. Bryant Ellis.
Okay, now we have another Ellis in the house.
Hey.
What up,
Jay? What up, though?
Lauren's on HBO's Insecure. Say hey to the people and tell them where they can find you.
What up, y'all? You can find me at J.R. Ellis. That's on Snapchat, even though I don't snap that much. Instagram. I Instagram a little bit.
Faithfully.
And Twitter. And Twitter. The real Jay Ellis on Facebook.
Nice.
And you can find me on Insecure every Sunday at 10:30 p.m.
Right? Plug it.
So, Jay, our goal is to let these ladies know that you're not a deadbeat.
All right. Because I'm just saying, you know, I didn't raise him that way, right?
Yes.
We established that on the first show.
She said that on the first show. She was like, I did not raise him that way.
That is not my son. So this episode is called Racist as
Flipper.
Flip flop. We don't cuss on. I mean, you're more than welcome to. This is how we do it on this panel. So I wanted to start with, like, the most racist scene. And to me, you got it, Paula. You go. Take it away.
Beach scene.
Yes!
Oh, I love it.
Shout out to Sujata. Yeah, Sujata was in that scene.
She's awesome.
She was great. Yeah. So I love, like, I was like, I really had to think. I'm like, maybe that's why black people don't swim, for real. Like, maybe that's why, other than that hair, but.
She was, like, the way she delivered that line, she was so cool. Mm-hmm. And she just turned back around. She had her shades on.
Okay, so, Oriana, since you're our token white, let's recreate the scene. Let's recreate
it. You white?
Oh. I know.
So you recreate the scene, and Paula, you deliver Issa Rae's line.
Which one are we talking about? Why they don't swim?
Yes, exactly.
But wasn't that the guy at the end?
That was the guy. Yeah. We're just kind of mixing it up.
All right, as the token offensive whitey, why don't they swim more? Why don't more of them swim?
Slavery.
Good job! Yes! Black Hollywood.
Why was Paula ready, though?
Say it if you want to.
Why was she red there?
I love it. Yeah, I really had to think about it. I was like,
Am I going to get an Oscar nomination?
Maybe a little.
No.
Not before him.
But I will let you hold mine.
Wow.
I will definitely let you
hold
mine.
Spoken like a true Ellis.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Okay, now. Another scene when she talked about the secret white Texas, they're doing secret white emails.
She's talking to Lawrence,
and this is kind of where we get a feel. Like, I like you in this episode, Jay. I was like, okay, I'm rooting for Jay because you're trying
for
now.
For Lawrence.
You can root for Jay too. I need some rooting for in life, just like everybody else.
Well, now we're going to talk about some great things that you have happening and popping, but we'll save that for later. So let's get to the show, because you actually go on a headhunter interview with Elise.
Yeah.
And you talk to Tasha.
Yeah.
And she encourages you with her boobies out. I was like, is that bank attire?
No, it is not. That was not. I'm telling you, as someone who spent 25 years in the banking environment, no.
Yes, tell us about it.
Yes.
Paula.
That would have been an exit strategy.
Oh.
There would have been an exit strategy for that.
Not just bank.
The magic
we
of television.
Yeah. Maybe it's because it was in Inglewood, maybe.
I don't know if that's the case. I think she just is a cute girl, and you know, she wanted to dress up for work that day. That's how she wanted to come to work. I don't think she knew Lawrence. It's not like she knew Lawrence or any some random dude she was trying to get was coming
right.
in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she wore that. I think she just
But she took advantage of the moment with Lawrence.
Of course.
Did she?
Yeah.
Why did she take it back?
I thought she pumped him up and he really needed it. He really needed that little boost of like, you look good today. You're doing good.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
But I bet you she's seen him in his scrubs and he's looking good today.
Listen, I don't think she knew what she was doing. I don't think there was any ill motive.
Or agenda.
Yeah, I don't think there was any agenda. I think
you
she
didn't
was
see
just
the way
like,
she
yo.
Smiled when you were
I
right.
think she's just like, yo, lift your head up.
Yeah.
Just pick your head up. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to hear pick your head up.
Normally I would go along with your brother, but I
Thank you, Cortez. I can't on this one, bro.
Come on, don't do me like that.
Because I was slightly over there like... I was slightly like, but maybe, just maybe. So I know Lawrence was probably like...
Issa. I think that it is... Lawrence is in a rough spot, right? Like, he's trying to get his stuff together. Obviously, he did the meeting with Elise, and it didn't turn out the way... Or he went and met Elise, and then he had an interview, and it didn't turn out the way that he hoped it would have. And so, you know, at a very, very low moment, he walks in, and he hears from somebody who kind of picks him up a little bit. Was there ill motive? I don't think so. Listen, here's my thought.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If she knows him that well to be able to say... You ain't got no kids, you got an education, you got all these things. She probably also knows that he's in a relationship, no?
You think?
You don't
and
think
how,
so?
How would that have stopped it?
You think she's hunting? You think
absolutely.
She's just...
Absolutely.
No. Oh, I disagree.
I think she's going to be in another episode. I see something like... Something
well, he
happening
might
in the future with
he
Tasha.
He might go make a deposit like every day, right?
Pretty much. He needs like the boost, the ego boost. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just noticed that in the next scene when we see him after his pep talk from his friend.
Mothers know.
Not one, but two.
Mothers
right.
know.
But he's dressed up, right? This is the first time we don't see him in sweats, shoes, right? I was checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cooking lamb.
Lamb chops. Yeah.
He was feeling good after that.
Pep talk.
Yeah. What's bad about that, though?
Yeah.
He made a turn. She told him to keep his head up, and he made a turn. He decided he was going to try. It's not like he made a turn and was like, yo, can I take you out to dinner? He made a turn, and he came home, and he made dinner for his woman. He cleaned the house for his woman. He got dressed for his woman. I feel like he checked a lot of boxes right there that we should be happy about. Now, where he got the motivation to check those boxes.
It shouldn't matter. I'm with you on that one.
Also, when you're not being appreciated at home,
I agree.
Sometimes you just need a little bit, right?
Hold on.
When you're not being appreciated at home, you know,
when somebody else
reflects that back to you, like, hey, you do look good. You are doing something right. You're like, put a little pep in your step. Like, walking down the street.
That's a slippery slope.
But listen, open the door. But on Monday morning, if you just scrolling through somebody's Instagram and they post a Monday motivation and you look at it and you're like, oh, that's how I want to, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to live my life like that today. And you go home and now you cook dinner for your dude. Should he be suspicious because you got your motivation from somebody's, from Jay Ellis's Monday motivation post?
Okay, well, see, that's a little bit different. Nice. Ah! You're talking Instagram versus someone's in boobs person. Out in person.
Yeah. Okay, if she didn't have boobs out, would we
but
feel
you
differently?
Know me.
Well, she knew so much about him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? Like, yeah. She knew some intimate things about him. Yeah. Right? So there's been more than just he, him making a deposit. There's been some dialogue. Mm-hmm. And just because he has a girlfriend, that has never stopped anyone.
Absolutely. Girlfriend or wife.
Now y'all shooting at Tasha's character.
Your daddy had a girlfriend when I met him.
And that's the show, y'all. We want to thank y'all for joining Black Hollywood Live today. We learned a lot about the Ellis family, as you can see.
Oh, wow.
All right, Paula, we're going to have to talk about that later.
I almost left this building, y'all. I literally almost left this
building. Sounds like Tasha is sitting up at that panel with y'all right now.
I'm telling y'all.
Right. And you come from banking?
Oh.
Yeah.
COO.
That's why I understand who Tasha is.
I love it. See? Now, the other favorite scene, I feel like we've exhausted Tasha in the bank. I feel like we're done with that.
We're done with Tasha.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
we are.
Let's get to the Rite Aid scene, because you make a joke. We're going back to the Rite Aid, because second episode, that was like epic television. You fighting in the Rite Aid with a six-pack of panties. And, yeah, I feel sad that you didn't continue with the birthday thing. I wish you would have done that, but that's just me. So we go back
to... She wasn't coming back home. So why?
I mean, eventually she came back home. Mm. He wasted all that money.
So here's the thing. So sorry, that means he would have decorated the place and then just waited, and it could have been days that the whole place is just decorated.
She could have dumped him.
But see, I mean, that's where she was going. Like, he knew, because in this episode, he talked about... I haven't been my best self.
Right.
And he knew that. So let's get to the Rite Aid. Who wants to reenact the Rite Aid scene? Because I want to do that one.
Okay, you guys do that. I love it.
So that was awesome.
That was good, Cortez.
That was good.
We
had to rehearse. The last thing we did when we tried to recap something of Insecure, the only person that felt like they was on top and had their part and the wardrobe and everything together was this one right here.
Spada
was like, I got the wardrobe and everything. I was like, okay.
Right.
I was like, get it, Paula. Like,
She was ready. She had the pause and everything. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to redo that Rite Aid scene. We're going to actually go to a Rite Aid. We're going
to
redo that.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. I will have to recreate that. Like, for real. That'll be fun.
I will give y'all a secret.
That was at the 99 cent store.
I can tell.
I knew exactly what. Because you know why? Because when you were at
the colors.
No, the colors. And then when you were heading out the door, there was a 325 sign, and it was like pink and white. And I am a 99 cent store candle connoisseur. So I didn't know exactly what that was. I was like, yeah, they're at the 99 cent store. Yes.
I love when he was checking out, and so he's walking by, and he glances, and he sees her out the corner of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
His look, your look, was like...
Know this.
Yeah, yeah. You don't remember that?
Yeah,
it was a great moment. Yeah, it was a great, great moment.
Yeah.
Does this happen?
And then the next thing you heard was, Isa.
That was my favorite part. Yeah. But yeah, so he makes a joke about... You gonna come home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, too soon.
I mean,
this episode is what you're saying is that when she was ready to leave.
I feel like, you know, you gotta be able to laugh at stuff sometimes, right? You gotta be able to. I mean, how else do you get over it?
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And it seems like, in my mind, it seems like it's something that maybe has worked in their relationship before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Joking, of course.
You know, I think the wit or maybe the charm, or you know what I mean, of Lawrence is probably what got Issa in the first place.
That's
you know what
true.
I mean? So
that's a good point.
I think maybe in the past she probably would have kind of laughed at that.
Right.
But we're now at a completely different point in the relationship, and he still doesn't.
Get it.
And she's also still maybe in her feelings a little.
Absolutely.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
Too soon.
It is a little too soon.
Absolutely. So,
well, and not to cut you off, but also we saw that in the very first scene, right? The opening scene where he tries to touch her and she says, "Oh, your hands are cold."
Oh, yeah.
Or for, how about the light switch?
No.
You know, not asking, like, "Hey, what do you want to keep sleeping on the light off?"
Yes.
Says a lot about the dynamic.
Yeah, it was awkward. Yeah, very awkward.
That
yeah.
was awkward. I love that she put a scarf on. I was like, "You better make scarves cute for black women." Go ahead, Issa. But speaking of, so you make lamb chops and you go all out, and she wants to do what she normally, what you guys have gotten in this rut doing, which is let's watch television, I've had a hard day, which is such a kind of like, normally men do that, not women. So kind of the roles are reversed a little bit. But she spills something on the couch, and then this is when you guys finally have the conversation that you needed to have. But the couch scene, the montage, I absolutely loved it. I was like, this was so, it was so beautiful. I was like, oh, I almost cried.
She did the thing on that montage.
Yeah, I was like,
Selena killed that montage.
That was a great way to show that. Yeah.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Solange picked the music for that.
I saw that in the credits
for that montage. Yeah, specifically for that montage. And then obviously Melina directed the whole episode. So I remember we were on set, you know, a few episodes later doing something. And I remember Melina coming in with that montage on her episode. And I was like, oh, we got a show. Like, this is a show. But it's so dope. Like, just to see that, because you don't, I mean, you know, you get in those relationships where you live with someone and there's that one thing that you get together, you know what I mean? And it does have a history and it does, it grows or falls apart or strengthens. Like, it's all a part of the relationship in some way. And you're right, this has probably been a thing that, like, since we now see them in that montage, we see them eating on there. Yeah. We see them making love on there. Yeah. We see them fighting on there. Yeah. So that couch is so much of been a centerpiece around their relationship, and now we get to see, like, in a flash, we get to see that whole moment where the couch came in, and this was like, yo, we're doing this. Yeah. We're a couple. Like, we bought a couch together. It came from Craigslist, but we got a couch together. You know what I mean?
That's the Bill Cosby couch right
there. Yeah. You know, and it's just such an amazing moment to see that, and then to see that, like, now here we are with this same thing that we did together, and that one little, her spilling that tzatziki sauce, like, on the couch is what sends, the thing that finally makes him snap.
Yeah.
And then finally sends them into the conversation that they need to have.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
It was. I was like, yes, finally, I'm glad they're talking.
I like the relationship from the previous episode when she came home, finally, and you were in the bed. And you were like, you have an interview. You had an interview the next day, and then y'all just start talking about Doug Yoda. Yeah. And I like that little laugh that they have. It was like, I can tell the dynamic of their relationship was already built on friendship and joking. So I see why you just said that before about, well, maybe the dynamics of their relationship was built on them joking, or him joking, and her falling in love with him. So.
I've really felt for Lawrence's episode, knowing about his career history. I mean, getting all dressed up, like, obviously having an executive type job, right? Having so much esteem from going to work and being the man and providing and, like, doing all these things that, you know, being suggested to go back to hourly, like, it's just such a huge blow to the ego. And to find out that more information of, like, that takes away your manhood. I mean, I remember losing my job, took away my womanhood, but my sense of, like, my sense of purpose and identity was just gone. And I was collecting unemployment checks and I felt so bad about myself.
But I like the way they've slowly told us a little bit about Lawrence, the character, right? In that same moment, we also learned that he had gone to Georgetown.
Right.
Which also says a lot about him intellectually and where he is. But I love the fact that he was willing to do what he had to do.
I love that.
Which the Best Buy job speaks volume about his character and who he is. And I love that. I love that.
And also there's a time in life where you have to take hard knocks. And, like, just because you don't want to, you know, there's getting interviews. It's like you could interview for the rest of your life, right? Like, you gotta make ends meet, and that feeling of, like, I'm doing something, I'm worthwhile. You know, it's so important.
Yeah, it was very important. So I love that we're starting, like, I'm starting to root for Lawrence. Because I think Oriana, she was like, I don't really care if they get together. How do you feel now?
Oh, totally. Well, definitely different. Now I'm looking at Issa like, you're
not going to say it because he's here now.
No. You know, it's funny. The head of our wardrobe department, Ayanna James, she sent me a text message last night, and she was like, they out here for Lawrence on Twitter. And I was like, I think that is still 50-50.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
I think they're not really sure yet. They see that he's made some steps, which is a good sign. But at the same time, you're like, he gonna slide back. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
They've been in this rut for this long. Yeah. Like, he gonna slide back. Yeah, so I feel like people are still 50-50. I still got some time to...
to make up.
Issa needs an attitude adjustment. I mean, she does. Lawrence is trying, and the whole allegory of spilling on the couch, like, she doesn't care about it, careless, and then trying to dot it up of, like, let's save, no, just trying to scrubbing it. Like, just really just not having kid gloves, the kind of sensitivity you need to have in your relationship.
You have really swung to the other side.
Yeah. Listen, like, it's one.
I mean, because last week, was like, I'm the only one.
No.
I'm just saying, it's okay if you have.
Whatever. It's not. It's just telling the story, right? Like, she looks like a real dick in this episode of just how insensitive she is, and how Molly tries to defend Lawrence, and she's like, you know, like she's stuck in her way. She doesn't want to talk.
Yeah, but I think it's also a thing of, like, you're the one who's in there every single day, right?
Yes.
Like, Molly doesn't go home with Lawrence,
exactly.
Right? Issa does, right? So there's a frustration that, like, she can only say through words. And you're also talking about Molly, who has not been in this type of relationship before.
Right.
So she can also understand all the complexities of what's happening between Issa
100%,
and
but
Lawrence.
She won't talk to her boyfriend. So, you know, without the conversation,
I think it's when she talked about carrying the weight when they were having tacos, and she talked about the emotional weight, the financial weight. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that day in, day out, like, you don't think cumulative four years, 365 days times four, like, she's been carrying that weight. And so her only outlet is Molly, where, you know, she's actually.
So why can't we say something in our relationship? Like, hey, I'm tired.
No, we should. I mean, I think at the end of the day, communication is key, right?
And so, and when
you see, but when you see the communication on the couch in the moment where she spills that, like, you see them both communicate with each other. You finally see that moment, you know, and then they have this moment where, like, yo, we've been frustrated and we've had this problem, but are you in?
Right.
Because I'm in. Are you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you believe her that she's in?
Do I believe
her? Does anyone else believe that she's in?
Oh, Issa, right?
Like, Issa D. Yeah, I kind of feel like it's a...
Yeah.
In and out type. Like, one foot in, one foot out.
Mm-hmm. I felt like she had to say it because he said it first. And then I also felt like it's genuine. I feel like she loves him. There's no doubt. I really feel like she loves him. But I feel like she...
You sound like when you want to break up with somebody, but you care about them, so you don't want to break up with them?
Yeah.
That's what
you're
trying to say.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of what you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to break their heart, but you still care about them.
She still loves
him. In the beginning, yes. Yeah. But now it's like... I think that she does, you know, love him and wants to continue, but it's just like, okay, get it together first.
I think she wants him to get it together, and I feel like she's giving him a little bit of tough love. Because I also think she needs another friend. Because Molly, even though on the surface...
She shouldn't be taking any relationship
advice from
Molly.
She shouldn't be taking advice from Molly.
She's broken.
Molly should not be...
She's broken right now.
But yeah.
She need a new friend.
Relationship.
Yeah, she's the girl that's getting married. I forgot her name. What's her name? The girl that's getting married from work? From Molly's job?
Diane.
Yeah, they need to be friends.
They should be friends, obviously. But I think Molly's character, Yvonne Orji, her character is kind of like how a lot of women possibly operate. Like, she has it together on the job. She has it together, you know, financially. She, you know, her friends are AKAs and, you know, her friends are successful. But really, I feel like she's the one that has more insecurities, more challenges than Issa. And she should. Like, she needs some new friends.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's an amazing guy.
Jared!
Who's opening up to her.
Enterprise,
dude. And she's ready to dump him because her friends made her feel uncomfortable because he didn't have a degree.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I was mad at her. I was like, Molly. I was so disappointed. I was like, Molly.
I'm team Jared on this one all the way.
I'm team Jared, too. I was so mad. I was like, and she's an AKA. Ugh.
And you can tell already, right, that he adores her. But but she's in this place of status.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So do you really want love or do you want...
Status.
Yeah, what is it?
And
you know, it's funny. So, like, here's the thing. So, Yvonne and I talked about this a few hours ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, I called her today. I was running some errands and I called her today and I was like, which is an amazing thing. Like, just on a whole nother note, like, I can get either of my castmates on the phone. All of us can get each other on
That's
the phone.
That's dope.
Producers. Like, it's an amazing, like, feeling to know that, like, you just, like, running errands and just want somebody to talk to because you don't want to listen to the radio no more.
Right.
And you can pick up the phone and call somebody. It's amazing. But I'm talking to her today, And we started talking about this. I actually asked her, I was like, yo, how do you feel about this? Because she tweeted out last night during the episode, ladies, would you date a dude who didn't go to college? And I'm like,
that's a great question.
Back up, back up. Yeah. Fellas, would you date a woman who didn't go to college? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a fair question to ask on both sides. We're seeing one example.
Why does it matter?
But why does it matter?
Yes.
He pays his bills. He's good to you.
Yes.
He loves you. Yes. He'll support you. I mean, not love in this case because they just mean now. But like, he seems to like check a lot of other boxes.
And so you're going to let a piece of paper.
That's someone who went to college and now has cellmate chasing them and probably not even working in the degree they went to school for.
Right.
Like, and then, so my question was, so if he had a like $6,000 a semester state degree, are you above him because you got a $40,000 private school degree? Yeah. Like, where does it stop? Where does it stop?
Yeah.
So do tell. What was Yvonne's feedback?
Y'all ask her that next. Yvonne Orgy, I'm not giving him no answers.
Just bring that on over here next week.
Yeah. You can ask Yvonne that next week. But she had an interesting perspective. Yeah, I mean, okay. Yvonne graduated from George Washington. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. A very, very smart girl. She's started working on a graduate degree, and then, you know, she came to acting. So, like, Yvonne, I think, you know, I think she had a very interesting answer, and I think as a woman in Los Angeles, and she's
an African American woman,
and she's been out here dating before. Mm-hmm. I think,
I know she rocks her stance.
Yeah, yeah. Like she has a very interesting perspective on it, I think.
So, okay. Ariana, would you date someone that does not have a degree?
Sure.
Oh, that was quick. Would you?
Absolutely. If he were the dude that I think sometimes women don't get what men are actually pursuing them. Mm. And we want the, sometimes it's so dysfunctional. We want what we can't have or what we think we can't have, which is so crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But I would totally date a guy who pursues me, whether he has a degree or not.
Mm. And what if he's working at the Rite Aid?
Well, I mean, he could be a doctor and be an abuser, cheater, you know, whatever. Yeah. So what does the piece of paper have to do with it?
To me, it's about context. It's like, you know, if you went to college and had a really amazing experience and you found your major and it took you on a path, it might be hard to relate to someone who's never had an experience like that, whether it's college or anything. I think, like, it's important to have commonalities, but to just base it on that one thing, if you have a degree or not, is completely useless.
Yeah, I think it's superficial. And then you're talking about college experience, because I think Issa Rae, like, I know when you look at historically black college universities, like, completely different college experience when you're going to a predominantly white university and you're only, you know, 3% of the population.
Right.
It's a different experience.
And
I've had people, because I didn't go to an HBCU, like, oh, you didn't go to an HBCU. I'm like, what? But I even had to have a conversation with this guy that I'm in. I was like, wait a minute. So you went to an HBCU. So what are you doing for the black community? Do you have a mentee? Like, I have a mentee. I shop black-owned businesses. So I'm like, what's the difference?
Right.
You went to an HBCU. I didn't. But I'm still doing more for black people than you are. So it doesn't add up. So I think to make one judgment on one thing is so ridiculous.
And she clearly made it on the one judgment.
She
because
did.
It made her so uncomfortable in that party when they started talking about... And then somebody made, like, a comment about it, like, that's it.
Her friend,
yeah.
The AKA girl,
The first thing they talk about is the first thing is her shoes, right?
The Fendi shoes.
Fendi, what the value system is. It's like, okay, what you're wearing.
Yeah.
And then even with Issa, she goes, I love how you just don't care.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, my Chucks, I care about Chucks.
Right. So that was an interesting, we got a chance to kind of see, you know, Issa's friends, Issa D's friends, and kind of that, the interesting dynamic between the girl who is the stereotypical girl who's like, hey, I'll take your friends, or who, you know. So I think having those different kind of women all in this one scene, I think, was great, because it kind of...
But one of the things I think, though, I think, even though we were kind of laughing about this earlier, I think Issa's good for Molly. We were saying that.
I do, too.
Like, I think vice versa, right? Issa's good for Molly, because I think Issa keeps Molly from completely spilling over to the party, the people that were at the party, right, who were so superficial, right? And we all know people like that we interact with that are in our circles for work, for whatever. We went to school with them. But I think... that's why I like the relationship, because she truly keeps
her grounded.
Her grounded. Yeah.
And I just hope she listens to her, because sometimes when you feel like, because she said, when she described her, she was like, oh, she's the Will Smith of corporate. White people love her. Black people love her. And sometimes when you don't have the same kind of respect for someone, mm-hmm. and she feels like, oh, well, you know, you have this boyfriend and you guys aren't really getting along. The relationship is challenged. Mm-hmm. So there might be, would she listen to her, you know, when it comes to giving advice?
I think their friendship's real.
Okay.
Because it's been so long.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think any friendship is like that, don't you think? It's funny. I feel like sometimes you need, someone could tell you something all day long.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as that third person tells you, you'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's a little bit of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Molly is telling, like, yo, Lawrence is a good dude.
She's
right.
He might be in a dark spot, but, like, he's a good dude. Mm-hmm. And Issa's not hearing
that. Well,
they
both say.
On the flip side, Issa's like, well, what did she say? She say something about you act like they all gonna disappear when she talk about the nigga.
She's like, they are.
Right? It's like, you know what I mean? So they're both calling each other out, which I think is real friendship, right?
Yeah,
it's
like, that's true.
You know that nobody's pulling out gloves and like going for the jugular. They're actually calling each other out like, yo, you're out of line. Like, just step back for 1 second and reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's really amazing about their friendship. It's so honest about their friendship. Another thing I love about their friendship is how much they get on the phone when they at work.
Yes. Like, go to the bathroom.
So
real.
I love how much, like, that's just another such a real element.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I think it's so cool to see. And they have these conversations that are down here like this because somebody else might be listening. Like,
it is real.
You just reminded me of when Molly said, Jesus gave me this broken pussy.
In the bathroom stall.
In the bathroom.
She didn't say Jesus. She said the N-word, but that was the most funniest thing to me.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about when Issa, we can go back a little bit. How did you feel when Issa performed the broken pussy song at the club?
Jay or Lawrence?
Let's do both.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Lawrence will have a reaction to it.
Okay.
Further down somewhere. I can't remember what episode it is, but Lawrence will have a reaction to
it.
I thought it was amazing. Jay thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was
I think all her raps are amazing.
I do too.
Not necessarily the rap, though, just how the fact that she was talking about Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We had a big discussion on
that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Or Molly influenced her. And she was like, well, maybe
inspired
it stinks. Maybe
she
it doesn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
She's a muse.
I mean, here's the thing. I think it was genius.
I did too.
Right? For like for that character, for her to be able to come up with that in the moment.
Just like that?
Like, I think it was pretty genius.
Yeah.
It's probably a little insensitive, but again, like, you got to go with, like, your adrenaline is rushing, right? You're up there in front of all those people, and you're just going, so you're not even thinking about who's in the crowd. You just know it's a lot of eyes staring at you, right?
Right.
You can't see because the light is in your face, so all you see is just, like, shadows, and you know it's people there. So, like, I mean, it was definitely a little insensitive. I think Molly might have taken it a little harder than she really should have.
Right.
And why does she say that out to a guy that she doesn't know?
I know. But he
sabotage.
Still liked her. Jared still liked
her,
actually.
No, he walked away, though.
That's he walked same, away.
He walked
came back.
Away, but
he
came back.
He came back. But he saw her walking down the street
and
in episode
like
2.
And
he
said, Rosa Pussy Girl.
Yeah.
Her and Flavor
Flav.
Her and
Flavor
Flav. Flavor Flav. What?
That's the dog.
The dog.
The dog.
Oh, yeah.
The dog is
Flavor.
But I mean, I feel like I feel like she might have taken a little bit of time. I also wonder, like, I also have this thing of, like, how. And we don't know, I mean, I don't know this, I'm sure Yvonne can answer this question, but, like, how much time did her and this dude spend together that, like, she's heartbroken all of a sudden? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you're talking about the guy she texted?
Yeah.
It was set up so good, right? Because she says,
I want to hear your voice.
Yeah, she goes, you know, he texts her and she thinks, you know, he's really looking for her. And then she's sitting there with her friend going, you know, I really like him. You know what? I never thought I would be with someone who's outside my race. So she's like going through this whole spiel with this buy-in in her head. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know is, you
I'm
know,
not looking for a
I'm not looking for a relationship.
But I mean, I wonder how many dates they'd actually been on. You know what I mean? For her mind to even go there.
Three. They had been on three.
They had been
said
on three dates.
Mm-hmm. She said three.
You know, women move by the third date.
Molly is way too ahead of herself.
Yeah.
Now, you said something.
something in, was it the second episode when Issa Rae, kind of like Issa D, almost pseudo broke up with you? And
that
she
was in
said,
the pilot.
Yeah, yeah, she was like, maybe I should, like, should lower I lower standards. My standards? And you had a comment to say kind of about Molly, so.
If she didn't take it so seriously.
Yeah, so that's what you think her issue is.
Yeah, I think Molly might take it too. I mean, listen, if you talk about three dates and your heart's broken. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe you're moving a little too fast.
Yes,
I understand that. I mean, listen, I know it's rough out there. And I know, like, nobody wants to be in these streets, like, dating all the time.
Yeah,
but, like, you can't snap somebody up after 3 dates.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He might still be a serial killer. You don't even know yet.
This is true. Mm-hmm. And I think it was interesting, too, when she meets Jared on the street. Because I've heard people say that. When you're not really trying, and you have, you know, you're at the gym.
She looked awful.
Like,
she was like,
eating.
Wait, why is he talking to me? And I'm looking like Eric Badu from Bag Lady. And then she was eating a burrito. Like, that was pretty cool to me, actually, now that I think about it.
But again, why? He's a great guy.
Exactly.
Right.
Because he could see past the way that she looks.
He's not impressed with the attraction.
I like it. Exactly.
I don't know. I'm going to be the dissenting factor. He didn't shake Issa's hand in the club.
Rude.
And he walked away.
So I thought
that was pretty lame. So I don't know if I think he's
a great
guy.
But here's the thing. What if he's trying to heal her broken
heart?
No.
Oh, broken.
Not broken. Maybe it's a, you know, some guys, not us.
Right.
We don't see a challenge. We don't see something and just make it a challenge. Like with the whole situation where, you know, he walked away when Issa's on stage talking about a broken pussy. And she was like, she's talking about me. And he walks away. Maybe he had time to go back and say, oh,
what would you do?
Maybe
then?
I can fix it.
What would you do if you're standing there with a girl and that came out and she said she's talking about me, would you go, oh, really? Let's talk about it. Like, what would you say to her? I'm like, what are you going to say?
You know, I don't know about walking away. I would just be like, at the awkward moment, like.
And that was kind of his, though, didn't you?
That
feel
was,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I felt like his was an awkward moment, like, oh, my God, I don't even, like,
I'm
know
ask
what
that means.
To do. What?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm going to be like, wait, what does that mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to know, like, how is it broken?
As the song prolongs, like, as the song prolongs, she starts saying, well, maybe it stinks, and maybe it's something. And I'm just like, okay, is she really talking about you in that case?
Right.
Because I know in creativity, creativity, if you have something to influence, it goes and, you know, whatever. So I would have, later on, I probably would ask that. Not right away.
But I think you shouldn't be talking about, like, stuff that serious, you know, initially. Like, I wouldn't have even wanted to
it's
have a
too
conversation.
Late.
Yeah, it was
in that
too
situation,
late.
It's too late.
It was totally
like,
too late.
Like, it's on the table, so let's talk
it
about
it. It was on the table.
Yeah.
Let's talk
totally.
About this.
I think it's interesting. I think she cut Jared short.
She did.
And I
she
think
did.
Jared's
yes.
a really good dude. I think
I
what's
too.
So really cool about this show is, like,
I
you get
too.
To see... the diaspora of African American people.
Yes.
And people of color, period, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miss Sujata,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's more people to come. And so, like, it's really amazing, like, when you were talking about the scene with the girls, like, those four women that were there represents somebody. You,
yes.
you know, either
yep.
one of them is your
yep.
friend,
yes.
you are one of them, one
yep.
of them is your mama, your sister. Like,
mm-hmm.
you
are you a combination?
You're a combination of
yeah.
a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, and what you will see. With the men of Insecure is a similar
mm,
thing.
That's interesting.
You will end up seeing a dude that you know in some kind of way
mm-hmm.
as the show progresses. And I think that's such an amazing thing. Like, they've done such a great job of capturing just the reality of who we are. Because we're
yeah.
all a little bit different. We all
yes.
got our own quirk. We all are, somebody's a nerd, somebody's
mm-hmm.
kind of cool, somebody
right.
is a follower. Like, we
right.
all... Somebody's a loud one. Like, we all have those things. And I
yes.
think it's really cool that, like, now you get to see all those people interact together.
Yes.
Can
and
I
speaking of loud,
mm-hmm.
we got to get to Rashida and Molly when you're talking about...
please ask Yvonne this next week.
Oh, my God. That was great.
I love that,
that was
scene
great.
Because in her mind, she's
yeah.
like, let me show this young lady, like, I'm going to be her mentor. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
you got to wait for someone to ask you
right.
to be a mentor, mentee. Like, you gotta wait. And so she kind of overshot.
Yeah.
yeah.
She overshot.
She overshot. Like, yeah. she wasn't even asking because Rashida was like, no, I didn't switch it up when I interviewed. I didn't switch it up.
No, with the senior
partners.
Yeah. She threw that in
she
there.
She let
yeah.
her have it.
She
and I
did.
Was like, uh oh. So, yeah.
What would you do? Would you pull her aside?
I wouldn't pull her aside.
You just let her sink?
It was too new.
Exactly.
It was too new.
Yep.
But you don't even, it's like, just you don't, like che- what you don't check it. You don't even check in with her and just say, hey, girl, I just wanted to see how it's going. You have a good time?
The very first scene, right, when she says, hey, if you need anything, mm-hmm. yes, I would have done that. But when she was kind of really loud in the hallway, and then Molly decides to call her in and say, girl, you know how those white people are? I wouldn't have went there. Yeah. I would have let that play out a little more.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you got to watch people. You do have to watch people to see if they even want information to even change.
Right.
And she wasn't even ready.
She didn't want it.
She didn't want it. She wasn't asking.
Cortez, what would you do?
Dang, why are you asking me? You know what? I really don't know. I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's
the reason why I think I don't have an answer, because it kind of happened to me before. So I don't know. Oh, like,
were you the checker or the checkee?
Both. I've been both.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so it's kind of like now I'm just like, I'm on my Jesus mode right now.
Let me ask. You know, let me ask.
I'm on that mode right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be on that mode.
Yeah.
Right now.
How about you, Oriana?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's not the same for me.
Right.
But if I did see someone,
but you can still be a woman in the workplace. Yeah, I mean, there's still
There's an arrogance level of thinking that, like, I know what's best, and that I, you know, I'm somehow going to save this person from, you know, like, that's not any of my business. I do think it's important to open the door and, like, you said, like, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Like, at least make a connection so that. I would feel like I'm doing my part, because I wouldn't want to let anybody out hang to dry, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's really tough. You don't want to tell anyone not to be who they are.
Right.
But you also want to be like, hey, if you are who you are, you're not going to make it around here. Like, that's valuable information as well. So I don't know.
And I think that comes with different cultures, like, depending on what industry you're working in. Like, banking is different from pharmaceutical sales, from, you know... Mm-hmm. There's completely different, and entertainment is its own beast. Right. Music is its own beast. So you have all these different corporations where there's a certain culture that you may or may not know about until you actually get into it.
I actually have an example. Okay, so I started a job that was ridiculous, hosting gig, and I was, hopefully they're not listening, hired by these Russians, and I realized after a couple of days that this whole thing was a setup. Like, this whole thing, my content was going nowhere. Like, they
were a drug mule?
Pretty much. Like, this whole office had no purpose.
You might not want to say anything. I'm scared.
But, like, this whole office.
So, next.
So, it took me about one day to realize.
I want zero association with you.
Next scene. Next scene. Let's move on to another scene.
Go ahead.
Never mind.
No, I want to hear that. No.
Cortez, you're funny. I want to hear
it. So it's a fake office.
It's essentially, this office that produces no revenue. So after about one day there, I was like, are you serious? What's going on? And everyone is like, everyone that works there is waiting to see what happens. Because every time a new person comes, they lose it within like 24 to 36 hours because there's nothing happening. And they want you to sit at your desk for 8 hours doing absolutely nothing. Bizarre, right?
Eight hours doing nothing?
Yes. So after my first 8 hours of doing nothing, I was like, excuse me, I'm not doing this. And one of the girls took me aside and was like, we expect the FBI to come in any day. Like, we know nothing's happening here.
Wow.
But if she hadn't said something to me, like, I would have, I was losing it. I was really losing it. So, like, I felt like I got rescued by just someone being like, listen, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
I think
so that's why you're saying, okay, now that makes sense. Okay.
I've been in this situation before. I've never been on the receiving end.
Because you've been the boss.
I'm just too polished for that. But I have been...
Jay's face. Let's get a close up. Jay's face.
No.
He's like my mom.
That's that talk mouth. Slick.
But I had to have that conversation with someone, but they reached out. Because I think, to Madison's point, they have to want that information. And you wanted the information.
I was seeking it out.
Right?
Yeah.
You were. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
And because that's why Molly got the response she got. Because the girl was like, wait a minute, I've already been validated. I'm here with you. And I don't need you to coach me or guide me in that way. I didn't ask you for that. So I think... You know, there has to be this sign or this signal where that person is looking for someone to give them that information.
There are twists and turns in that relationship. Some good ones, too.
Yeah.
Some really, really good ones.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Give us one.
Nope.
No, he can't. We need him to stay on the show for a season.
Like my job.
Right. Oh. We want you to keep
Okay, can I ask a quick question as our, like, as your the non-cultural ambassador, whatever I am. this whole thing with Issa at the We Got Y'all, like,
we were going to get to that, but go ahead. Ask your question.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask, like, you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't, because the obviously these white folks are the worst, but they don't, they need information, they have no context, they're afraid to ask questions. It's, of course, it's ironic because they're at this institution that's supposed to be benefiting kids of color, but the fact is that they're all scared because they don't want to ask these things that make them sound dumb. Because frankly, nobody wants to be like, hey, do black kids need sunscreen?
Right.
But if have no context, like who, I mean, I would want to see some communication, but I can see how, you know, the dramedy of it, of like, are they going to email her? Like, is there a safe space? How do they know what to do?
Well, let's just use that question.
Yeah.
Just as an example. Specifically, there's that also question. Google.
So, I mean, these people are particularly bad.
Specifically that question. A, you got Google. B, you can ask Siri. C.
Alexa.
Yeah.
D, why would you think, like, it's skin. Doesn't matter what color it is. So why would you think it doesn't need...
Because I don't know, but...
But that's literally the question. It's like, it just stops right there. Your skin needs it. Why, is your skin more special than somebody else's skin?
Yeah, apparently it is.
But why?
I honestly think it's this deep ignorance of just like, well, I white and I turn red. And like, you're a different color and you don't turn red. I can't really understand
but
it.
But everybody has a different thing. She turns red.
Yep.
I can't understand
it. I get darker and peeled.
No, I know.
I don't turn
but
red.
What I'm saying is these people have no context. Like, they have no business doing what they're doing. They have no context. But how do we get them context?
Context. Oh,
how do we get them to understand that these questions are really inappropriate?
I think that's what Issa Rae is doing.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly
what. But if you were in that
doing.
Workspace, what? Like, I'm just looking at it from the outside going, how do they bridge this gap? How do these idiots learn anything? If they're also afraid. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like they end up not caring. Or right. Not just even wanting to know because they're trying to save face and they're also just trying to just, you know, not hurt anyone else's.
Well, I think it's more that they don't want to get in trouble and they don't want to,
them. Right. That's what I'm saying because I mean, I've done that sometimes as well. Like, you know, ask questions about white people's hair or something like that. Like, why do they get lice? You know what I'm saying? We don't get lice. You know, those kind of things, like, you know, those kind of things. So I wouldn't just ask. I'd just probably either, like, Google, Siri, whatever, and find it on my own. So I think the ignorance of me is just not even wanting to know
to
anymore.
Ask the question and to be curious
just,
and to
or
know
either
the
just
answer.
Get to the point that I just don't want to know anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the people that are in, that you're asking for in real life, they get to that point and be like, okay, well, maybe I'll
but
find a black friend.
But anything else, though, when it's genuine and you care, you ask. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Right.
Right? So that's, agree. To me, that's the...
The reason is because today, in today's life, people are sensitive about everything. And if you don't, especially at work, but if I'm Caucasian and I'm out, and I'm at work, and there's black people at work, and this I'm going to put myself in that scenario with We Got Y'all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer. I'm gonna like, probably leave work, and I'm like, find someone on the street. Let me find a black person on the street that I don't know. And then maybe I'll ask them. Right. You know what I'm saying? But someone that's going to, I have to see at work, I'm not going to ask them that.
Right.
But I also think in this, like, this time of, like, social media where we tweet, we text, and, like, I'm just saying, like, we've lost this connection of actually having real conversations with people and, like, actually really caring about people who don't look like us that we put this blanket, like... it doesn't really affect my life, my livelihood, my kids.
Yes,
so I really don't care, and so I'm just really not going to answer the question.
And that's what I was saying. That's exactly
ask
what I was
the
saying.
Question. And I don't care.
And I think you can ask any question that you want, but it's always the way you ask it.
Exactly.
It's the exact
it's not
same.
What you
I mean,
say, it's how you say
yeah,
it.
Because think of the way he acted. Like, why don't they swim more?
Right.
Right? The way he approached that whole thing.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm black, and I don't even know where that comes from.
Hysterical.
I don't. Like, for real.
I figured we'll have to dive into that the next...
Wait, what was it? What was it about? Like, for real, I don't know.
I think for most women of color...
Did I just
think
lose
it's...
my black card or something? All y'all mood just changed. Like, what? If y'all
give
can finish tension in the studio right now.
Paula's taking it.
I'm taking it.
You and Ariana are going to be our new token white people.
You leave?
Jay is taking off. Jay's leaving the set.
No.
He's like, you're no longer black.
No. Maybe y'all can tell me that in the comments.
Yeah.
Please, you know, help him out.
Don't unfollow your brother, you know.
Yes. It's all right, Cortez.
That's at Cortez, Cortez West on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
Siri.
Okay, so I think we're all, have we covered everything? I think the bus scene was cute. That was a cute scene. Mm-hmm. I love that they turned a phrase. That
you leaving for real?
Jay's like,
no. Is he not leaving for real? Y'all, this man has left the building.
He has left the building.
He got to use the restroom. Guys,
okay. Okay, well.
Y'all.
It's Cortez, you made him leave.
Yo, I'm for real. Where does that come from?
We'll talk to you after the show.
Yeah.
We'll talk
to you. Okay, well, so it makes me feel better because I just figured it was context. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything for the most part for this this episode. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to episode number 4 because I want to see how the relationships blend. And I love how every episode she deals with something stereotypical.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Yes.
Something that we need to be having conversations about. And I love, absolutely love the show. So I think that's it.
She does it, we talk about this every show, right? But she does it in such a real, refreshing way. It is exactly how it happens. I have had those questions my entire life in the corporate environment over and over and over again. And I've been in situations where I've been the only female of color, or just anyone of color.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are real issues that she's putting out there.
Absolutely.
And I love the way she's doing it.
I do, too.
She's not sugarcoating it.
At all.
But the humor, it's so relatable. And we can't have these conversations, I think, because of the nature of the show, how smart it is, how funny it is, approaching all this real life. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is what we deal with. This is real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can laugh about it. We can grow. We can learn. I love HBO for taking the not that it was a real risk, but do you know what I mean? For doing something so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did mention Jadena, the classic man. He was actually in an episode, and I didn't realize that he actually went to Stanford with Issa.
Mm.
And while he was working on music, she was working on her first, I think it was called Dorm Diaries, as her senior project.
Yeah,
and so they were friends. And so Jay kind of alluded, which I'm really hopeful that he's actually going to be on more episodes. So he had a small little part. That's why I used the song at the opening. So
I'm so excited.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, awesome.
Love him and Janelle Monáe. And Janelle Monáe is in a really great movie. Jay is back.
He had to use the restroom. That's what, y'all, we're not that bad. That's what I figured. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I know that question was not that bad. That dude had to use the bathroom.
Sorry, y'all. I'm back.
I was like, he's taking Cortez's black card in him.
No, he took my black card and left the building.
No, my bad. I had to go back.
Thanks for
that's
sharing,
why he was sitting
Jay.
There with your legs crossed.
Yeah. I was like, this is just stop. Yeah. No, we gone.
Woo! You cannot buy that, guys. You cannot buy that.
I love it.
Can't script that.
That's
one.
Only something a man would recognize.
Of course.
I was so not paying attention. I was like,
I wasn't either.
That was great timing,
though.
That's
called good interview etiquette.
You know what I'm saying?
You know when to leave out.
Okay,
so because
I'm pretty sure y'all was concerned, like, oh Lord, this man left the bed. Oriana was like, oh my God.
I was more concerned about our live feed. I was like, hey guys, bye. Okay. Into the door. Okay.
Oh gosh, that's
right. It is live.
They can cut to another camera.
I'm pretty sure he was engineer. I'm pretty sure he was smart enough to cut it out.
Let's hope so. But if not,
like
it's okay.
Last week.
He's back. You're back. You're back.
I'm back.
Okay, so Jay, we got to know what's happening with you. What's going on? I know you're doing some directing. You're on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah.
What's happening? Okay, wait. Go ahead.
Shout out to Nick Perdue.
Shout out to Nick Perdue.
Nick Perdue, yes.
One of AfterBuzz's and Black Hollywood Live Zone.
Yes.
We worked together on some stuff. I directed a web series.
I didn't get a phone call, by the way.
2 weeks ago or something like that. You were busy. No, I called your people.
And your people were like, no, we don't come in for less than this quote. And I was like, oh.
See, that's when you should have just went ahead and just, bro.
You don't do the free quote. You see what I'm saying?
Free.com.
Yeah, you don't do the free quote. So we had to go somewhere else.
Got it. So I directed this web series that was a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So really exploring that world. I have a short film that I'm working on.
that I'll probably do at the beginning of the year. So really excited about that. Just kind of building out some things on my YouTube channel. I want to do like great scripted content, like, you know, stuff that people can laugh at and possibly, you know, develop and turn into something else. Yeah, kind of, you know, just exploring. I'm on the cover of Heat magazine with Corey Hardrick and Domingo Coleman. Domingo is super, super talented dude. He's in Birth of a Nation right now. Corey has a short, a feature that he was a lead of and directed called Destin that's out right now. And I think he's also, I know he's working on a movie with Marlon Wayans right now. So he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that.
That's excellent.
Okay. And then Insecure every Sunday.
You better plug it Sunday. And you said something about Facebook Live that's about to happen.
Yeah. So starting next Monday, see, now I went and I got all that up. I was good before I went to the bathroom. Now my microphone won't work. But no, starting on Monday. So starting next Monday, what is that, the 31st?
Halloween. 31st,
right? So starting Monday the 31st at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 West Coast. I'm doing a Facebook Live Q&A, 30 minutes. You can ask anything about Insecure, anything about me, Insecure.
This is the Insecure Live or your live?
So it's going to be on my Facebook, on my Facebook Live page, or my Facebook page, sorry. So I'm starting that next week.
Okay, so before we wrap out, we want to know all of your social media handles. Let's start with YouTube, because I tried to find you on YouTube.
My YouTube is a tricky one. So my YouTube is J.R. Ellis Channel. My Instagram and Twitter are JR Ellis. My Snapchat is JR Ellis. What else is there?
That's J-A-Y.
J-A-Y-R-E-L-L-I-S. What else is there?
I think that's so many. Instagram. I mean,
my Instagram is JR Ellis. Mm-hmm. Facebook is The Real J Ellis. That's the one. The Real J Ellis. It's so many of them, and then people be grabbing your names, and your name is somebody else's name, and it's just a lot.
It's a lot, yes. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
BHL, Insecure HBO After Show. I'm Madison Chase, and you can find me at One Mad Chase on YouTube. On Twitter, I'm Madison Chase Fitness, and Instagram, Madison Chase Fitness as well. Oh, Twitter, Madison Chase Fit. Oriana, where can everybody find you?
You can find me. Just look up Oriana Leo. There aren't any other ones. So you
can find me on Instagram. Excuse us. Miss Original, excuse us.
Cortez.
Oh, yes. You can find me on all social media handles as Cortez G West.
And last,
I was Madison. I was
just you were trying to. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm Paula Bryant Ellis. You can reach me on Instagram and Twitter at P. Bryant Ellis.
All righty, you guys. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you guys next Monday from 6 to 7. Don't forget to tune in to HBO Insecure, 10:30, 7:30 Eastern.
10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Western.
That's a lot to keep up with, but y'all make sure y'all watch. I got HBO now. You can get it on your phone and your laptop.
Yeah,
that's what we do. So thank you guys for watching. Leave comments. Make sure you like, subscribe, and reach out to us on all of our social media handles.
Yeah.
See y'all next time.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.